Okay, so let's dive in. Today, we're wading into this, well, surprisingly complex world of brand loyalty and consumer relationships. You know how it is out there, just everywhere you look, brands are fighting for your attention.
Oh, absolutely. It's intense. And to help us kind of get a handle on it, we've pulled insights from a couple of key sources. First, there's the Bond Loyalty Report 2023. They really nail the feeling of the current landscape, calling it everything everywhere all at once.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
And then we have the Inspire Relationship Report, which gives us this really fascinating peek into how consumers actually think about choosing brands, connecting with them.
Right. So our mission today is to really dig beneath just the points and the discounts. What truly makes you choose one brand over another? What makes you feel, connected? And what actually makes you stick around? It's about understanding that bond, that relationship, beyond just the simple transaction.
Exactly. And the first thing the Bond Report makes super clear is just how crowded this space has become. I mean, the loyalty sector. More competitive, more cluttered than ever. Their phrasing is pretty spot on. Everyone plus their sister has a program.
It really does feel that way, doesn't it? And they've got numbers to back it up. The report shows in the US, consumers are members of like 18 loyalty programs on average.
18.
Yeah. And they're actively using about half of those.
Okay.
Then up in Canada, it's slightly lower, around 15 programs per person. But the active rate is even higher, 57%.
Wow.
And in both places, these rates are actually higher than they were before the pandemic.
Right. And that surge wasn't just random. The pandemic really pushed things. It
Yes.
increased what consumers expect. They want more personalized, more relevant experiences now.
Makes sense.
And brands responded by, well, innovating like crazy in the loyalty space, which led to this explosion of programs everywhere.
But here's the catch, right? For the brands, anyway. A lot of these programs are running at a really high expense, often because they've leaned maybe too heavily on just the purely financial side, this straightforward earn and burn points and discounts thing.
And that expense, that cost, brings us to a really core concept from the Bond Report. They talk about what they call a tale of two loyalties. Basically, the data points to two main paths brands can take to build, sustained loyalty and importantly, increase their share of wallet.
Share of wallet. That's basically how much of my spending in, say, coffee shops goes to this specific coffee shop versus all the others.
Exactly that. So path one is the financial path.
Okay, that's the one you just mentioned, right? Focused on the earn and burn, the savings, choosing rewards. It's all about the tangible stuff you get back. Points, discounts.
Right, all that value. And the report points out this is usually the most expensive way for brands to go.
Ah.
Plus, it's the easiest one for competitors to just copy. I mean, if your big offer is 10% off, what stops someone else offering 15% off?
Yeah, it's just a race to the bottom on price, basically.
Pretty much.
Okay, so what's the alternative? Path two, you mentioned. The relationship path. This sounds like where the real opportunity might be.
I think it is. This path focuses on deeper connections, things like personalization, offering unique access, weaving relationship and maybe shared values into the whole brand experience. It's less about the points you collect and more about how the brand actually makes you feel.
Right, and the characteristics here sound like they'd be much harder to just copy. You can't easily replicate a genuine relationship.
Exactly. It allows for unique experiences. It lets brands use what the report calls alternate currencies of loyalty. We should definitely talk more about those.
Okay.
And the data shows this path, the relationship path, has a much stronger influence on whether consumers feel truly loyal to program. And as a result, it tends to increase their share of wallet more effectively than just the financial path alone.
So the big strategic question for brands is becoming really clear then. Are you just competing on price, or are you actually investing in building real
That's
relationships?
the crux of it.
Which leads us nicely into thinking about what actually drives that loyalty, that connection from the consumer side. The Bond Report has this really useful framework, their our driver model. It looks at seven key areas that statistically link up with customer satisfaction and retention. So they are. No, that's personalization. Financial, the value piece. Safety, how your data is used. Access, like unique member benefits. Communications, learning, understanding how to get the most out of the program. And Time, ease, and convenience.
And what's really interesting within that model is how some drivers sort of act as foundations or maybe accelerators. Time, for instance, they call it a super enabler.
Super enabler.
Yeah, meaning if a program saves you time and makes things easy, it basically lifts the performance of almost all the other drivers. Convenience is huge.
Got it. And what about safety and privacy?
Oh, those are absolutely table stakes now. The report is pretty blunt about it. If you mishandle customer data or breach their privacy, you'll just tank your trust and reputation fast. But just doing a good job there, like meeting the basic expectation, it doesn't really earn you extra credit. It's just the minimum required today.
Okay, that makes sense. It's expected.
And we're also seeing this noticeable shift in which drivers are increasing in importance for making consumers feel loyal to program.
Mm-hmm.
So while the financial stuff, like saves me money, that's still important, still stable, factors tied more to the customer experience and just ease arising. Things like provides great customer service, saves me time, and makes it easy to do business with them. All of those have seen their influence on loyalty outcomes grow significantly.
That really highlights why just leaning only on financial rewards isn't enough anymore, doesn't it?
Totally.
Brands can look to those alternate currencies you mentioned. Things like, providing unique experiences, maybe special access, or even just making interactions totally effortless.
Yes, it's about adding value for the customer, but maybe without just throwing more money at program costs. It's value delivered through the experience, through connection, not just cash back.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's pivot a little bit now and look at this more from the consumer's perspective using the Inspire Relationship Report. Now, this report, it's based on a survey mainly focused on U.S. consumers, age 25-45, household income over 75K. So it gives us insight into a pretty key demographic.
Right. So for this group, when they're first discovering a brand, what's initially grabbing their attention?
Well, top factors are high-quality products or services, that's almost 60%. Positive reviews or a good reputation, that's huge, 67%.
Wow, reputation matters.
It really does. And recommendations from friends or family, still very powerful at 57%. New or innovative products also play a role for about 31%. And interestingly, aligning with personal values comes in for nearly 30% too.
Okay, and where are they actually finding these brands?
Social media is dominant here, no surprise. 73% cited it as a discovery channel.
Right.
But look at this. Word of mouth is still incredibly strong at nearly 60%.
Really? Still that high?
Yeah. And in-store browsing, just seeing things on shelves, that's still a significant source at 51%.
Mm.
Online ads are there, sure, 42%. But it's clear that the human element, you know, hearing from friends, seeing things in person, that's still vital alongside all the digital discovery.
So talking about social media, the report looked into what kind of content actually influences people, right? This is where it gets really interesting, I think.
It does. User-generated content, UGC, you know, stuff like customer reviews, photos, videos shared by real users, that is the most influential by far, almost 76%.
76%.
Yeah. The report actually describes it as the modern referral.
The modern referral. I like that.
Organic brand posts, just the stuff brands post themselves, that's also significant, 48%.
Okay.
Now, contrast that with influencer partnerships, only 28%, and paid ads, just 21%.
Big difference.
Huge. And the survey found that consumers are, well, increasingly skeptical of influencers, sometimes feeling like they're just in it for the perks, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you hear that.
And paid ads, often just scrolled past. There's a great quote from a consumer, something like, "I've learned about a lot of brands from TikTok. It's nice to see real humans who aren't paid to post show reviews of stuff they actually love."
Authenticity, it just cuts through.
Exactly.
So, okay, you see a brand, maybe on TikTok from a real user, or a friend tells you about it. What's the very first thing you do? Do you just buy it?
Nope, not usually, according to the Inspira report. Most people, about 52%, the first thing they do is search for reviews or ratings online.
Okay, checking it out.
Or they visit the brand's own website. That's about 31%.
So they're doing their own little deep dive, basically.
Pretty much. They've been introduced, but they need to sort of validate the brand themselves, either through independent sources or on the brand's turf before they'll even consider buying.
Okay. And as they're doing that research or thinking about building a relationship, the Inspire report really emphasized the role of shared values.
Yeah, it did. 55% of the consumers they surveyed said a brand's values impact their purchase decisions.
Over half.
Yeah. And 54% believe brands should actually take a stand on social or environmental causes.
Interesting. So they expect brands to have a voice.
They do. Now, it's not always the single deciding factor in a purchase, but the report really stresses that inauthenticity, you know, performative moves just for show that can seriously break trust.
Right. You can see right through that.
Totally. There was this striking anecdote in the source about a consumer who specifically chose to buy from a brand because they genuinely gave a portion of profits to nonprofits. So authentic values really can sway decisions.
Okay. So values matter. Building on that, what makes consumers feel a personal connection to a brand? What didn't start from find that?
Well, personalized experiences or offers, that topped the list at 65%.
Personalization again.
Followed very closely by feeling understood as a customer, 54%. Then emotional appeal, 37%, and community building, 31%. It really reinforces that personalization isn't just a nice to have anymore. It's becoming an expectation.
And people really value it when it happens.
Oh, yeah. Over 56% rated those personalized interactions as much or very much valued. There was a telling quote from a consumer who said they like it because it feels like the company actually pays attention and crucially makes their life easier.
So it's about utility, but also feeling seen.
Precisely. And there was a great example in the report, too, about a brand handling a faulty product issue. They didn't just do the return. They actually sent the customer a thoughtful gift as an apology.
Oh, nice touch.
Right. And that act, it created this really positive emotional connection. It fostered lasting loyalty because the brand showed genuine care, not just, you know, procedural correctness.
Going beyond the script. I like that.
Exactly. And when consumers were asked to define what having a relationship with a brand means to them, the key things they mentioned were trusting the brand, 55%, feeling like the brand understands their personal needs and preferences, also 55%, and experiencing consistent, high-quality interactions, 48%.
Trust and understanding. Sounds like any relationship, right?
It really does. Yeah. Those seem to be the foundational pillars.
Okay, so you've built that initial connection, that trust. How do you keep customers engaged, you know, for the long haul? What keeps them coming back?
Consistency. The Inspire report highlights consistency as absolutely critical. Consistent quality of products or services was paramount. 87% said that.
87%. That's huge.
Massive. And right alongside it, also at 87%, were exclusive offers, rewards, or loyalty programs.
Okay, so quality and rewards are neck and neck.
Yep. And then a brand's innovation, staying fresh, that also matters to over half the people. 54.5%.
Right. You don't want things to get stale.
Exactly. Relevant communication and opportunities to actually participate are also key. Within brand communities, for example, consumers really value feeling recognized or valued by the brand. 63% said that.
Feeling seen again.
Mm-hmm. And having opportunities to contribute ideas or feedback, that was important for 52%. And simply being able to share their own personal experiences was valued by 63%.
Interesting. And what about social media engagement from the brand? Does that matter?
It does. For half the consumers, 50% value it much or very much. And there was this quote that really stood out to me, a consumer saying they get genuinely excited when a brand notices them on social media.
Like if the brand likes or comments on their posts.
Yeah, or interacts with them directly, it just reinforces that feeling of being seen and valued. It makes the connection feel more real.
Okay, so that's how you keep them.
Sure.
What about the flip side? How do brands avoid a breakup? What makes people leave?
Well, the top reasons consumers might avoid or leave a brand are honestly strikingly simple. Poor customer service, 77%.
Ouch. Big one.
Huge. Inconsistent quality, 74%. Lack of trust or transparency, 60%. And overuse of personal data, 45%.
Okay, so the lessons there seem pretty clear from the how to avoid a breakup list.
Yeah.
Quality is just an expectation, right? It's not a bonus.
Absolutely. It's a given.
Transparency is non-negotiable if you want trust.
Mm-hmm.
And respecting people's personal space and privacy, especially with their data, is absolutely crucial. Fail on those.
And you risk losing them entirely. Simple as that. So circling back to the Bond report for a moment, let's think about how this idea of loyalty is expanding beyond just, you know, points for purchases. We talked about those alternate currencies.
Right.
Think about examples like Nike plus Lego. They focus so much on the membership experience itself, access to events, community features, training plans.
Yeah, it's more than just buying shoes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Or Lululemon, building relationships through their content, their ambassadors, local store events and classes. It shows loyalty value delivered through belonging, through unique access, not just traditional earn and burn rewards.
And related to that experience idea is the increasing importance of a totally seamless customer journey.
Yes, definitely. This means the experience needs to feel effortless, whether you're interacting online, on your phone, or walking into a physical store.
It all needs to connect.
It does. And loyalty program data can be incredibly powerful here. It can help equip frontline staff, you know, the people in the store, with the information they need to make that in-person experience feel personal and connected.
So the tech helps the human interaction.
Ideally, yes. And the report highlights that experience seamless across touch points is actually a new top driver for loyalty outcomes in the U.S. this year.
Wow. Okay. So that seamlessness is really rising in importance.
It is. And despite all the tech, that human connection in the frontline delivery, so vital, makes me feel valued, important, is consistently listed as a top driver. Technology should enable that, not replace genuine human interaction.
Good point. What else is expanding the idea of loyalty?
Linked partnerships. The Bond Report points to the tie-up between Starbucks Rewards and Delta SkyMiles as a prime example.
Ah, yeah, I've seen that.
It's mutually beneficial, right? Mm-hmm. It offers members value across different brands they might already use, and the results are impressive. When members are aware of that partnership, 76% report having a better experience with both brands.
76%.
And 73% say they purchase more often from the brands involved because of the link. It leverages existing loyalty to create totally new value.
Smart. It expands the ecosystem.
Exactly. And looking even broader, maybe at the future of loyalty mechanics, the report touches on innovations like Buy Now, Pay Later, BNPL, and neobanks.
Okay, BNPL like Klarna or Afterpay?
And
neobanks, the digital-only banks.
Right. Both are emerging with sort of embedded loyalty mechanics. They're integrating benefits directly into the payment process or the banking experience itself.
Interesting. So loyalty isn't just a separate program anymore.
It's becoming integrated. BNPL is growing, especially in Europe, up to 7% of discretionary spend in some places. And neobanks are seeing huge adoption, particularly in Latin America. Brazil, for example, averages over 3 neobanks per person.
Wow.
It just shows how payment systems themselves are becoming these new avenues for delivering loyalty and benefits.
Fascinating. The landscape is definitely changing.
It's very constantly.
Finally, the Bond Report also had a quick look at travel loyalty, right? Especially with travel bouncing back. Any generational differences there?
Yeah, a couple of interesting points. Younger consumers, so Gen Z and younger millennials, roughly 18 to 33, they're planning more flights on average than older groups, about 2.9 flights versus 2.4.
Why is that?
The thinking is they're often looking to make up for lost time from the pandemic years.
Ah, the revenge travel idea.
Kind of. And what's interesting is how they approach travel loyalty. While this younger group is still very financially focused, they want the deals, the points.
Mm-hmm.
They also really highly value personalized experiences, unique access, really good mobile apps for the programs, and diverse ways to earn rewards beyond just flying or staying.
So more complex expectations.
Yeah, they seem to have more nuanced expectations overall, and they're actually more critical of certain traditional program structures compared to older generations. They want more flexibility, more relevance.
Got it. Okay, so wrapping all this up in this deep dive, what's the main takeaway?
I think the main message, really coming through from both the Bond and Inspire reports, is incredibly clear. In today's super crowded market, building loyalty that actually lasts, it goes way beyond just layering on financial incentives.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough anymore.
It sounds like it's fundamentally built on really understanding your consumers, delivering experiences that feel personalized, that feel relevant to them,
mm-hmm.
fostering genuine human connection when it matters, demonstrating shared values, but doing it authentically.
Yes, authenticity is key.
And earning that trust through consistent quality, transparent interactions, and really respecting their privacy and their data.
Exactly. And the Inspire report explicitly noted something important. While maybe not every single consumer is looking for some deep emotional bond with every brand they buy from.
Right. Sometimes you just need toothpaste.
Exactly. But the foundational elements, consistent quality, reliable customer service, transparency, respecting personal data, those are non-negotiable expectations for everyone. Get those right and you build the essential base. You earn the right to even try for deeper loyalty.
Makes sense. So given how much both these reports really highlighted this consumer desire to feel seen and understood and valued by brands, what does that really tell us about where marketing and customer relationships might be heading?
That's a big question.
And maybe more importantly for you listening, as you interact with brands every day, how can you tell if a brand truly gets you and values you beyond just wanting your next transaction?
Yeah, that's something interesting to think about, isn't it? How do you spot the difference between genuine connection and just, well, clever marketing?
Definitely something to consider as you navigate all those loyalty programs and brand messages out there.